scripture comes from Genesis 37, 5 through 11. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the fields when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you actually intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
Yeah, it's good to be home. This is a very familiar place for Rosina and I, and Sebastian probably, he's here. And I don't know, in this area there are positive energies and positive feelings that I don't need to prepare for any sermons because I know that we are part of the same family of God. And we are looking for this day. And probably last Sabbath or the other Sabbath or 2 years since we left Madison East, and we didn't know that so fast we can come back to visit you. We are grateful and for God for providing this opportunity, and also Pastor Nelson invited me to be here today. And also we are grateful for Pastor Nelson and Sue in the Nelson family for their ministry here in Wisconsin, the pastoral team here in Madison East, and also the conference office in the education department. By the way, education department is not an easy one, and Sue Nelson does a great job coordinating. And especially with a lot of movements, teachers move out of the state, we have to hire others, and it's not an easy task, but she does it graciously. And please continue to support them. Please continue to pray for them. And also, pastoral teacher family is not an easy experience because both have a lot of on their plates, and their schedules have to be coordinated. And also, because right now I represent the conference, I have to thank you, especially for your involvement in Wisconsin Conference. And as Paul mentioned, we do things here in our community in Madison area, but through our donations, time, energy, we support the Wisconsin Conference. And Wisconsin Conference is not an office. It's not my desk or my chair. It's totality of churches in Wisconsin, and we support common projects like Camp Oconda or Wisconsin Academy or different evangelistic projects all over the conference. And no church on its own can do that. That means it takes all of us to contribute to that great ministry. And thank you so much for your involvement in Madison East. It's part of that, and I am so grateful. Now, I entitled my presentation today, The Dreamer, and this time I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this sermon. I'm prepared, and I was thinking, I don't have a PowerPoint, I was thinking, if I have a dream exactly before the sermon, what that dream will be. Because as you know, you don't choose dreams you have during the night. I wish I can type something, I program my brain to have a funny dream or positive dream that I may wake up in the morning and say, hey, look, I wake up Rosina and say, I had a dream. You know, you don't choose your dreams. Sometimes they are nightmares. You say, look at what dream I had last night. And you remember that. And as you know, most of the dreams, we don't remember them. And I said, I wish I have a dream that I can illustrate my sermon today. And guess what? I had many dreams. I forgot all of them except one. And I don't know why you are laughing, but it was my dream. I didn't choose to have it. And when you have a dream, you are not supposed to be taking responsible for the dream, okay? To be blamed for your dream, because it was a dream that came into my mind, into your mind. And I had a dream that somehow I lost my iPad. This is a 7-year iPad. I received it as a gift here at Madison East for special purpose. When we had this new pulpit here, I received this to match this pulpit, and I always used for positive purposes. No games, no jokes, except for I have all my sermons, all my PowerPoints. I have all Bibles, hymnals, Spirit of Prophecy, and everything. This is a holy PowerPoint. And I don't know why you are laughing, but that is true. And last night in my dream, I lost my iPad. It's 7 years old. It's not the value of the iPad. It's the value that means to me. And in my dream, I discover where my iPad is because I have the cloud. It's connected to my phone, with my computer. And if I lose one of them, I go back and see, you know, because they are connected to internet, I know where they are. And it happened that it was in Romania, back in Romania. It's not another country. It's a country that I am familiar with. But in a family that lives in Chicago. And I don't know. Is this a prophetic dream? I will lose my iPad? I may have an eye on my iPad or not. But this is what happened last night. This was my dream. No sense. But I found the iPad. And especially when I woke up, I said, praise God, I didn't lose my iPad. I have my iPad. Now, as Abby already read from the scripture, Joseph had one dream. And the Bible says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told to his brothers, they hated him even more. They were hating him, no problem, with dreams or no dreams. But when they heard his dream, they started to hate him even more. And my question was, why? Because you don't choose your own dreams. As I mentioned before, they come in your mind. They are from daily activities we have on that particular day. They may come from bad influences in our lives, or they may come directly from God. They can be a spiritual dream with a spiritual message for now or for the future. Why did they start to hate Joseph even more because of his dream? Now, as you know, the message of that dream is a little inappropriate for the context. Joseph was part of that point. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 6, and he said to them, please listen to this dream which I had have. And for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, in lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. You know, in modern times, I can translate this dream like this. My iPhone stood among your iPhones or phones or flip phones who you have or no phones you have, and all the phones around my phone bow down against, you know, in front of my phone, or my car, or my house, or the way I look, or my achievements, or my diplomas, or my happiness. You know, and every time I post something on internet, especially on Facebook, I wait for some people to bow down to my picture, to my experience I post there. You know, it's not the same thing. I don't want to blame Facebook right now for this. But if you do this just for that reason, don't be surprised that there are people out there, even if they like your picture, they hate you in their hearts. Why? Because they don't have a relationship with you from the beginning. In whatever you do, whatever you say, they will hate you even more, especially if you are superior to them in one perspective or another. Okay? And that's why his brother said, then are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? You know, the story with my iPad last night, I cannot blame the family from Chicago stealing my iPad in Romania, where nobody can blame me because I had that dream. I can be blamed if I want to share my dream with others or not. And some commentators say it was right for Joseph to share his dreams if he knew his brothers would hate him even more. But he was 17 during that time, as you remember. And when we are 17, we have a lot of dreams. But still, we don't deserve to be hated for our dreams. And another time in verse 9, now he had still another dream. And related to his brothers, he said, lo, I have had still another dream. And behold, now it's not that the sheaves on earth. And by the way, those sheaves were related to the future experience in Egypt. Because his brothers came to survive in Egypt. And Joseph took care of them in literally at least 10 of them at once. Point in 11 after that, bow down in front of him to survive. And he ruled over them. And he had the bread in his hands. And he, as you know the story, we don't have time for that right now. But right now we have the sun and the moon, something outside the real world. And and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he related to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Even his father, you know, is something wrong? That means you always think of being a leader, ruler over us. You have those type of dreams because you always entertain those types of ideas in your mind. Shall I and your mother, and by the way, his mother was dead. She couldn't come and worship or bow in front of Joseph because she wasn't alive anymore. And I don't remember if Jacob did that, but apparently he never worshiped or bowed down in front of Joseph. They had a happy reunion in Egypt, but not in terms of that type of relationship. In verse 11, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. You see here, we have two categories of friends or brothers or family members who don't like what you say, don't enjoy your dreams. Some, they will hate you even more. They are even more jealous on you. But the father, even if he rebuked Joseph, didn't hate him, but he kept those words in his mind. And he said, I'm curious how this will be. What will happen in the future? Friends, I see here a first lesson from this passage. If you don't like something you hear, if you don't like something you see, if you don't like something you get, don't jump on negative side, even if it's logical, even if it's natural to do it. A kid of 17 years old is not supposed to come and brag about his potential future, if that's true. Nobody knows about that. But have patience and have Jacob's attitude. I don't like him. I may rebuke you because I want to have a stand in front of your brothers, you know. But keep thinking, meditating of those words, because you never know. And also, don't despise young people, teenagers. Remember Joseph, there is a parallel person in the Old Testament during the same time. They have to leave their country, Daniel. Joseph and Daniel, they have some type of the same destiny. They left their countries. They went through the pit in jail, whatever, to fulfill God's dream, not just for themselves, but for the family they left behind. Now, we go right now. I open my iPad, my holy iPad. We go right now through some lessons related to this story. And I hope we'll find something about us today. First, this dream is the central point of the whole story. Joseph's story starts with a dream and will end with another dream. And we'll see that. Second idea, and this is his dream came from God. It's not a dream because he wanted to be the great leaders on earth. It's not a dream imposed by society or by his family. Those dreams came directly from God. That's why whenever you feel you have a dream that comes from God, don't be shy of telling others about that, even if they start hating you. Because they will remember their initial attitude over the years. And as we see here in this passage, God has a dream bigger than ourselves and bigger than our environment. I don't know about you, but that's true in my life. I was in Romania. I have a lot of stories to tell. You know most of them. And I remember one time, I wanted to learn English. My pastor in that time told me, study English. How can you study English by yourself? But when I went to the seminary, when I took English class, I was very diligent. I wanted to learn this language. I don't know. I thought something will come out of this. Why I wanted to? Because in Romania, we didn't have a lot of theological books in Romanian, translated in Romanian. And everything was mostly in English. And I wanted that knowledge. And I wanted to be able to learn more and to study more. And because of that, I wanted to study English. When I went there, I did. And I started to read books. And I started to read materials. And I started to translate and so on. When I came here in Chicago, I didn't want to be stuck in the Romanian culture. I went to the Hinsdale Hospital to become a volunteer chaplain. I wanted to communicate with real people, real Americans, to learn their language, their culture. When I was called by Wisconsin Conference in Superior District, I was super happy, happiest day of my life. Why? Because that dream that God provided in my life when I said in Romania, why do I need this? And here I am, because God put some dreams in my life. At that time, I didn't know if it was from God. I thought it's from my heart. Second idea from this passage, when God gives you a dream, it's not mostly for yourself. And I can tell you even more from the perspective I have right now. Becoming a leader somewhere is not for you. It's not for your benefit. When you become a leader, you have less time for yourself, sometimes less time for your family. But you are called by God to fulfill a dream for others and for God. And when Joseph had these dreams, the moment his brothers came and bowed down in front of him, there were a few seconds or minutes. It doesn't worth it to wait 15, 17 years to get that moment. Finally. Some commentators say when Joseph saw his 10 brothers coming and bowing down in front of him, he said, nope, that's not enough. My dream, there were 11. Bring Benjamin because I want the all the family to bow down in front of me. It's not about that. When he saw them doing that, the Bible says he remembered his dreams. He didn't say, now, I am proud. The prophecy of God is fulfilled. And finally, my enemies who hated me, who despised me, who sold me into this, I'm revenge, finally. No. The great dreams he received from God, it was for them. He was there for themselves, not for him. He had enough food. And he spent a lot of time, energy to organize the whole nation and also the whole surviving system for that. That's why, if you have a dream from God, and all of us has that dream from God, keep in mind you are part of the dream, but not the part that benefits the most. You are there because God has a plan for you, to use your talents, to use the future you for others. And the irony is, especially for those who are enemies, your enemies at one point. Okay? Another lesson I see from in this passage is, there is a journey from the beginning of the story and at the end of the story. You have a dream, and immediately you think you'll become the leaders of the whole world, and everyone has to bow down in front of you. But in order to be prepared by God into fulfillment of that dream, you have to step into that journey, step by step. And Joseph's story starts with being sold, a hungry brother who brought food to his brothers, sold to strangers. Then you know the whole story. And after years and years and years, finally, he saw the fulfillment of his dream. Many of us would like to have a great dream from God, but not many of us are willing to do that journey. If I will know from the beginning what does it mean, I said, no, choose another person. I don't want to go into slavery. I don't want to be falsely accused. I don't want to. But as you know, Joseph is a wonderful example for teenagers, for young people, for all of us. Because during that journey, he focused mostly on God. He didn't complain, and he was used by God in every circumstances to be a blessing for others. You know, the right moment, doors of opportunities for him to serve even more people were opened, and he was willing to accept that challenge. Do you have a dream from God? Are you willing to do the same journey with the same attitude Joseph had? That means you are the perfect person for that dream. If you want to have the dream just for yourself, I want people to bow down, I want people to appreciate me, I want attention, I want this, I want that, you are not the right person for that dream. And many of us are guilty because we killed God's dream in our life through our attitudes. Fighting with others. They didn't treat me well. They didn't consider me worthy of this or that. Don't worry about that, friends. If God wants to revenge you, there will be a time for that. But don't initiate that process. If God wants to reward you in a way or another, wait for that time, if there is the case. But Jesus is an example for us. He came on this earth, and by the way, Joseph and Jesus are interconnected. And Jesus represents better the best scenario in this situation. Jesus was focusing on saving us against ourselves while we didn't accept him. It mistreated him. But because he focused on our salvation, nothing mattered to him because he had the perspective from the perspective of eternity. He looked at a time when all of us will be saved and will be grateful for salvation. Another lesson from this story is the way we treat others who don't like us, who don't appreciate us. It's very, very important how we do it. Because even they remember, Joseph's brothers, some of them, even when he was sold on the spot, they started to have regrets. We did this, it's not right. And as you remember later, when they got into trouble, immediately they thought, we did this, we got into this trouble because of what we've done in the past. Let their conscience and let the Holy Spirit work in their hearts. Don't say, send back a message, or don't say back an email, or don't say back, send back some words, even if you are right. Let the Holy Spirit time deal with that into a real transformation of the heart. I had too many conversational arguments with people trying to demonstrate I was right and they were wrong. I won a battle, but I lost the war. But I had experiences when I didn't say anything, where I just prayed. And over the years, it happened that they gave me a strong hug. And our relationship was better than before because the Holy Spirit worked on their hearts. That's why, friends, if someone of you at this point experience that type of conflict in your mind, in your heart, in your soul related to how people treated you, you didn't deserve. Live a life with decency. Live a life above the average or above your environment. Have God's dream in your life. Allow God to use you in your spiritual gifts wherever you are. If they put you in a prison, find something to do in a prison. If they put you into slavery, be the best in that house. Do your best there. And if they ask you to be in charge with the political affairs or economical affair of one country, do your best there. And let God take care of your reputation. And you, the conflicts, people started with no reason. And you are right. My dream came from God. I cannot induce my own dreams. But let God take care of that. And also, friends, I said this many times here in this church. Life is short and tough. It's complicated in itself. Comes with a package that is very complicated. Let's make it simple. Let's not make it more complicated than it is. And the best way is do not respond or do not react or overreact of things that happen around us. If you feel someone hates you, try to have an understanding. He or she does that because misunderstanding, because of context, whatever. Don't respond because, as you know, your soul is affected. And also the Bible says at the end of the book that Joseph had another dream. And I want to invite you to open the scripture in Genesis chapter 50. We read 24 and 25. Genesis chapter 50, 24 and 25. And Joseph said to his brothers, they were old, all of them were elderly people, retirees by this time. And he said to his brethren, probably all household family members, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. What is the last dream or last wish Joseph had? See, what I said before, the dream wasn't for himself. I want to be in Egypt. One day, I want to be the ruler of the whole world, and I want everyone to be dependent on me and my orders and everything. He was there to serve people. But his heart was outside of that environment, outside the country. And he said, I know the prophecies. I know the promises God gave to Abraham and to our fathers. We are here on a temporary basis. We are here to survive or to help others to survive. But my dream is when God will search you, when you'll be on a journey out of this country into the promised land, please, please, take my bones with you. I don't want my bones to be in a big pyramid or a big tomb where people to come to spend a lot of dollars to come and visit me here, take a pictures with my bones. I take my bones in a very simple coffin, in a very simple tomb, but I want to be sure I'm part of God's people. wherever they go. Friends, we may have dreams about our professions, dreams about our careers, dreams about our families. At one age, we start stopping dreaming about us. We start dreaming about our children in their careers, their families, and so on. Those are great dreams that come from God. But friends, there is one dream we always need to have. Doesn't matter if we lose our iPads, whatever happens in our dreams. We need to have that dream. Our bones will be out of this world. And when Jesus will come to take us home, we want him to recreate us and to fulfill his destiny for the eternity. Because if I ask a person that who is 85 or 90, what's your dream? What do you want to accomplish? Mostly the dreams are beyond our reality. Are the dreams related to God's kingdom. That's why, friends, let's dream that dream every night. And even people will hate us or are jealous on us. Let's live and let's have that journey to be faithful until Jesus comes. Because I can promise you, I don't know, I wasn't there, but as I read and as I hear others saying, it's a beautiful world. No more death, no more cancer, no more suffering, no more misunderstandings, no more conflicts, no more any negative things we may experience on this earth, but eternal happiness, beauty, harmony. And friends, let's be ready for that day. And let's put aside everything that can hinder our eternal destiny. May God bless all of us as we listen to this message and as we continue our journey on this earth. Amen.